You work hard to build your business. Be sure you're protecting it. Rock Solid Financial is the top insurance and financial literacy firm for small business owners. We specialize in small business funding consulting, credit repair advisement, business credit acquisition, strategic uses of life insurance products for protecting and cash flowing a business, and strategies for entrepreneurs to create tax-free retirement savings. No matter what stage you're at, no matter if you're a solopreneur, a small business owner, or somewhere in between, we can help. Visit www.rocksolidfinancial.co/advice to book a free consultation and learn how we can help you to protect you and your business.
Hi there, Tanisha Coffey here, and this is the Lofty Entrepreneur Podcast, where business owners can watch or listen for the very best tips, tools, and resources from a high-level strategic concepts to getting in the trenches of how to generate more money, scale, grow, and protect what you've worked so hard to build. Now, you all know I'm all about strategic action. So right here, right now, this very second, here's what I need you to do. Go ahead and click that subscribe button so you don't miss any episodes. I always find guests to bring you the golden nuggets for your business, and tonight's no different. Now, tonight's guest is Mr. Marlon Brammer of Brammer PLLC. Through his company, Marlon focuses on helping families and small business owners to protect their legacy and their future. His specialties, estate planning, business planning, and asset protection. Now, don't let the lingo scare you off. Whether you're self-employed, a small business owner, or a larger business, we're going to be dropping some nuggets so you don't want to miss how to thrive personally and professionally. Hi, Marlon. How are you? Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I really wanted to talk to you because I feel like, you know, a lot of business owners, they get a lot of information about, you know, how to start a business. I definitely provide a lot of information on how to market the business, but they don't really get a lot of information on, okay, the business is going, it's doing fine, it's growing, you know, now what, right? After those like first couple years where you start to have more assets and more interest, you have employees, you just have a lot more kind of wheels going, mm-hmm. You know, people don't really delve into that. So I love what you do. And I just kind of want to break down, you know, some of these aspects, you know, for people in relation to business. All right.
Sure.
So let's talk a little bit about, asset. Like, let's talk about business planning first. Okay. So from your perspective, what are some of the things that, say, an established business, or you could start, you know, early on if you want to kind of walk people through, mm-hmm. should be considering when it comes to business planning from, you know, like a legal perspective?
Well, I always tell my clients that we have to start from the end to determine the beginning. So it's important for us to ensure that, one, you have an idea of what your business would look like when it's thriving, right? And what we want to do is build a framework around that vision that you have for your business. So, and that entails as well, what is your exit strategy? So that's one of the first things we're going to identify before we even start developing a comprehensive business plan. We need to know where you're going. And in order to determine that journey or the path to that journey, we need to have an idea of the actual destination that you had. So we start with a exit strategy. We try to define what that means to you. Mm-hmm. Whether you're going to be selling the business, trying to find an acquirer, or you're trying to pass it on to your kids, to your family. You want to keep it in the family for generations to come. And from there, we tailor make a plan specific for that business owner and those specific needs for the industry.
Okay, so I love this mm-hmm. here because so many people, they just focus on, I'm just going to start the business. Mm-hmm. They never get to the point of thinking about that succession planning, that exit strategy. So I love, love, love that you mentioned that. And I want to unpack that a little bit because sure. I think we can really kind of jive on some of those aspects. So, you know, for instance, you know, when you're talking about that succession planning, what am I going to do, you know, 20 years, 30 years, 5 years, however long you plan on running the business, what am I going to do with it after the fact? I think a lot of small business owners, self-employed, they're just like, oh, I just stopped the business. You know, they don't think about my business has value. It has assets that I could actually, you know, sell it. Or if I build it with the intention of selling, it could be much more to me and someone else than just simply just quitting. So, you know, what are some things to consider when it comes to, say, somebody does want to sell the business or acquire?
So the first thing we have to bear in mind is that the business has to serve the purpose of the owner, right? So if your purpose is not being served, then you won't be passionate about what you're doing or even be willing to complete it, right? So some of the things that you need to consider when you're putting together an exit strategy, let's say for an acquisition, we're going to try to make sure that the necessary elements are in place. So one of the things that my firm does, we do what we call a filter audit. We try to make sure that your finances, your insurance, legal, tax, employee, regulatory issues are taken care of. It's just an acronym for us to guide us through the various aspects of your business that might be salient, irrespective of which industry you're in. We try to make sure that those five or six areas are identified, taken care of, and from there on, we do the deeper dive into what the business needs and try to ensure that we plug those holes. And that's if you're trying to build up the business to make it a substantial one so that you can pass it on or find a buyer. Mm-hmm. If you're looking to get into an acquisition, then we're trying to make sure that you're an attractive acquisition, right? So we want to make sure that what businesses such as yours are being are being done for that business, right? So we're trying to make sure that you are aware of your industry specifics, the KPIs, what certain buyers are looking for a business like yours, what kind of track records, what kind of numbers are we doing, what kind of employees, you know, the robustness of the business, what do you need to do in order to get it to that certain level? And then we develop a plan for that, that strategy.
All right. So let's talk about, you know, so like in my area, you know, part of the business succession planning, whether you're trying to have someone acquire it, whether you're planning on passing it on to a family member, you know, from my perspective for, you know, what I always tell people is to think about how they can use life insurance as one of those tools, right? So a lot of people really think about life insurance as only, okay, if something happens, if I pass away. But what business owners don't realize is there are a ton of uses, you know, for life insurance for them, including helping with that succession planning, funding side of things.
Absolutely.
You know, and then also it can be an asset to the actual business.
Absolutely.
That, you know, potentially gets passed along. So let's talk a little bit about like the buy-sell agreements. Can you give them a very, you know, high level overview of what that is and kind of how that works in conjunction with like a life insurance
policy to fund it? Absolutely one of my favorite strategies. So that's a buy-sell agreement is a very simple agreement. You're simply saying that where there's a partnership involved, we're trying to make sure that each partner is protected with their specific interest. On both sides. So let's say, for example, I'm a partner with another person in this law firm, and the law firm is valued at $2, right? Want to make sure that my portion, that one book, is paid for at the time of certain parting events, right? It could be something such as my death. It could be something such as my being disbarred from the Florida bar, right? That means I can't practice anymore, and there needs for me to be removed. Or it could be a situation where we are deciding to sell my interest. I want to move on. I want to become a doctor, right? So I want my interest to be bought out. So we're going to make sure that interest is valued, whether it be $1 or $1 million, whatever that value is, and we're going to purchase life insurance to ensure that irrespective of where the business is, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, we have enough capital to fund that acquisition, right? So what you're suggesting is this. You're suggesting that if we have, if we don't have a partnership and we're trying to develop some sort of exit strategy, one way that we can actually work that out is, let's say we can set up a buy-sell agreement for an employee that you might value, right? Or it could be a family member that you might value, right? And that person would essentially fund, the business would essentially fund the life insurance policy that would essentially provide the mechanism for us to acquire the business from the owner. So I started a business. I'm a widget maker, and I did well at that. And I wanted to move on. And the only person that I can actually sell it to is my trusted employee who helped me to build that business. Well, we're going to acquire life insurance. And we're going to make sure that it's properly funded, overly funded, so we can use that cash value to properly fund that transaction later on, maybe 6-7 years down the line when I'm ready to retire. It provides me the income that I need, what I need to move on and retire, or it might provide the employee the ability to actually purchase that business without having to, you know, seek funding elsewhere.
Right, right. So if you guys didn't hear him closely, he's talking about passing on a business, you know, succession. Mm-hmm. He didn't mention a loan in there. He didn't mention having to go to a bank.
Right.
You know, so this is a different strategy. So this is why I love talking about these things, because people tend to think about the, you know, the common and their quote unquote traditional things that are most talked about, but they don't really realize that something using a strategy like this is very accessible to people, whereas some of the other options, the more traditional options, can be, you know, limiting for people just even having the opportunity to get involved in something like this. So I love that. Okay, so you mentioned before about, you know, we kind of touched on it about, you know, if you were passing it on to, say, a family member or a loved one, right? So let's talk a little bit about the estate side of things, right? So let's have an example of, you know, say it's a father and he has, you know, two sons and, you know, one of them's interested and one wants to work in the business. The other one is completely disinterested, but they want to kind of make sure, he wants to make sure that his estate is equalized. You know, so in that type of scenario, how would a business owner, from your perspective, you know, like a legal side, and then I want you to incorporate, you know, the side of how life insurance can play into that as well to help balance that out.
Sure. And this is a cautionary tale to ensure that if you own a business or if you intend on owning and running a business, you have to must take care of your estate plan. Because as we know, you know, things are just not as predictable as we hope that they would be. But we're going to be responsible. We're going to be responsible because we want to make sure that we're good stewards of the wealth creation process that we've enacted. I want to make sure that that passes on safely. So in the scenario you pointed out, where we are looking at the possibility of passing on a business, one from a very interesting child to one who might to the other extreme has no interest in the business. There are two competing thoughts when it comes on to estate planning. We have equal opportunity or equal distribution, right? So we can look at it as a situation that we're going to just be done away with it and just make sure that they equally get access to what I've created, right? That wouldn't work in this situation because we have one specific child who is interested and one who isn't. So we're looking at maybe an equal opportunity distribution, whereby we're going to ensure that the interest in this business, which should be owned preferably by a trust, right? The interest in the business, not the business itself, but the interest in the business should be owned by a trust that will be directed to ensure that that interest passes on to the child that's interested in the business. If we have obviously created wealth as a wealth creation process through building the business and making sure that we're putting our money into our cash value life insurance or other mechanisms, the bank accounts or the stock market, whatever, we're going to ensure that we identify the interests of this other child. And we're trying to make sure that we provide some resources to, provide for his upkeep and wealth creation process as well. Not everyone has got not all my children are interested in becoming attorneys, right? So I have to show some interest in them and what they're interested in doing and provide the means by which they can accomplish those goals, right? The kids who might be interested in becoming an attorney, they're going to get the asset from that specific business. But it all comes down to proper planning. I can't tell you how many times businesses have been lost primarily because there was no planning in place. There was no directive. There's no smooth transition. There was no grooming. There's nothing involved in ensuring that there was a proper handoff from one generation to the next.
So let's talk a little bit about that, right? Because, typically people will kind of fantasize and they'll say, I want to retire when I turn, 55, 65. Mm-hmm. But in my opinion, and feel free to, differ, a lot of that happens for people who are employees, they're mm-hmm. working for someone else. Mm-hmm. For the entrepreneur or the small business owner, sometimes that is more wide open, right? Because the mm-hmm. reason they're working, the reason they built the business, it's a different beast, right? Yeah, right. And so what do you recommend as far as timing to even begin kind of putting these things in place and, being able to truly be prepared for whatever that event is? Because if a person hasn't identified, I want to retire at 70, how soon should they be thinking about this, and starting to put their, line their ducks up just in case?
So as far as a timeline is concerned, I say immediately. And that's the reason why we reverse engineer your exit strategy from your first book to your 100 millionth book. We're reverse engineering that. And we're trying to make sure that you can have that flexibility somewhere in between there. All right. So I don't necessarily ascribe to the phrase or the term or the ideology of retiring. Right. Mm-hmm. So to retire simply means to put out of service. Right. So mm-hmm. it's kind of hard for me to look at a fellow entrepreneur and say that you're going to be put out of service. Right. But what we truly are seeking in that planning session is financial independence. Right. So we want to make sure that you're at a point where you're financially independent. And if you're financially independent, you can certainly move on to passion projects. You can certainly start growing that garden that you wanted to grow without thinking about certain needs are not being met, right? But where do we get to that point? It could be anywhere from that first book to that 100 millionth book, right? So your financial independence would be that trigger for me to ensure that, what I can step back from the business. We can start with the transition that we planned years ago in our office, right? We sat down and we broke it down. And yeah, certainly we can put some numbers to it and maybe say 3, 4, 5 years out is when you can kind of expect to be financially independent. But then at that point in time, it's an option. It's not mm-hmm. necessarily a mandate for you to retire or be put out of service, right? It's an option. You have that flexibility to possibly even look at a second business or a second career or start being that grandfather or granddad that you always wanted to be, or that father or that dad, I don't know, that you wanted to be. But the point is you're going to work at financial independence as opposed to retiring.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So I want to talk about, when you're talking about the retirement and the financial independence, obviously there's more to assets than just money, But let's skip over to the asset protection side of things.
Sure.
What should business owners be thinking about when it comes to the assets that they need to protect? And, you know, what should they be doing to kind of get that in motion?
Right. So when we talk about asset protection, we're trying to make sure that third parties can't easily claw away assets from you or your generations from generations to come. So we're trying to make sure that we're putting certain protections around your assets. So your assets could be, the most important asset is you. The most important asset is are the individuals in your home, right? Let's start there. So we're going to make sure that each one of these people are protected, right? And that starts with life insurance, right? So I'm going to advocate that first of all. The second step, right, is to ensure that the assets outside of the important ones, right, the most important ones that you're creating, your business, your home, your rental property, your bank account, these assets are, again, out of the reach of certain third parties. And unfortunately, if you're out there making money or running a business, there's always the risk. There's always the risk of someone being upset with what you did, what you didn't do, and a lawsuit ensues, or you just probably didn't do the right thing at the wrong time, right? And it just happens. Things like these happen. So we're looking at using various mechanisms, depending on what we're talking about. We're talking about using corporations as a mechanism. I mentioned life insurance. Mm-hmm. You can use corporations as a mechanism to protect certain assets, depending on the use of that. Were you looking at certain assets such as your personal home? We're going to make sure that the use of a trust is a part of everything that you do, right? We want to make sure that you're avoiding probate, right? In the event that you pass, we want to make sure that these assets don't escape to the state or to other third parties in a debtor-creditor claim, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that these assets stay within the family and pass along for generations to come. Your goal should be ensuring that you are creating a dynasty that lasts beyond you and your work, right? Proverbs 13:22 says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, right? So it's important for us to take those necessary steps to protect those assets using all the various resources available to us. Right. Depending on the circumstances, we're talking about corporations, life insurance, trusts, various types of trusts, mm-hmm. Ensuring that our taxes are in order and we're not, you know, giving too much to Uncle Sam. We want to pay our fair share. But, you know, within the realm of legality, we're going to make sure that we are not paying too much.
So real quick, I know there's different types of trusts, different situations. Mm-hmm. Can you explain how having that place can be a great benefit to a business owner, the greatest benefits?
Sure. So one of the biggest purchases that you'll ever make is your home. That's a fact, right? And in fact, in the great state of Florida, right? I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but a very good way to actually hide a lot of your wealth is to take $30 million from your previous life and just drop it on a property down here in South Florida, right? Or Florida, for in fact, because of the wonderful laws that Florida has in homestead, right? So you can literally just have fun purchasing a very expensive home with a significant portion of your wealth, right? So the most important thing with regard to a trust is you're trying to ensure that you're separated from your assets. You individually separated from your assets, right? Why is that important? It's important because at some point, especially at your passing, right, the question is going to arise as to what did he own or what did he owe, right? There are two O's. It's what you own and what you owed. Right. And I always remind people that the probate process is there to protect creditors, right? If I loaned you $26,000 for a car loan and I'm in Chicago and you passed away in Florida, I have no idea that you passed away. So it's important for us to have a mechanism to alert creditors such as myself to show up in court to make sure that I can collect that $26,000. So unfortunately, a probate is a very open public process that allows for creditors to come and attach to that asset. Now, that $30 million that you took from New York to purchase that mansion on the water, right, is protected under Florida Homestead. So that's one of the assets that's excluded out of probate. All right. That's number one. Number two, we're going to make sure that that asset was already in a trust regardless. So you're separated from that specific asset, meaning the answer to the question as to what I owned was nothing. I owned nothing. Right. But I controlled everything because I was a trustee for this specific trust. Right. So there's nothing to probate. In other words, my assets as a business owner are going to successfully transfer to the next generation without any hitches.
Okay. Are you guys hearing him? That is like a huge nugget. Okay. How many of you have known someone, you know, and it doesn't have to be a business owner, just someone who, you know, passed away and all of their things had to go through probate? It can be a huge mess. Lots of time watching basically somebody else, outside forces, third parties decide what's happening with your loved one's stuff. And you just have to sit and twiddle your thumbs. But when you take the time to put a trust in place the right way, all of that, you're in control. You literally controlled it, you know, while you were here. And even after you're gone, you are the one who's controlling how things proceed from that point on. So I think that is a huge takeaway, you know, for those of you who are listening or watching this, to really, you know, think about those aspects of it.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to give everybody everything, because obviously I want them to be able to come and speak with you. Everybody's, you know, scenarios are different. But I want you to leave people with, you know, kind of a thought. If there is one thing that they should do tomorrow, no matter how big or small their business is, no matter whether they just started or have been in your business for 20 years, if they listen today and they were surprised by something you said, what should they do tomorrow to make sure that they're protecting their future and their legacy? What's the most important thing that they should do tomorrow?
The most important thing to do is to not do not limit your relationship or your relationship with professionals, right? You are, as a fellow business owner, I had to realize that I don't know what I don't know, right? And I had to rely on marketing team, rely on an accounting firm. I even used attorneys as well, right? So these are professionals who are always in your corner as a business owner, number one. Number two, the fees, yeah, I know they're there, right? But you have to realize, as a business owner, these fees, you can actually, you know, write them off on your taxes as a business. That's a beautiful thing about owning a business, right? So the federal government recognizes the fact that you are out there creating wealth. You're out there creating jobs. You're out there creating opportunity and an economy, or creating a robust economy. And they realize that you do need the support of certain professionals. And they're giving you credit for that specific situation. So I know this benefits me, of course, but obviously the I had to come to terms with a lot of this as well, and ensure that I had professionals in my corner to support me. That's the first thing I'd say. Just get rid of the myth that you're your own attorney, you're your own accountant, you're your own marketing guru, right? Make sure that you have these three elements at least in your corner to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, if you're talking about creating a wealth, a portfolio, you're out there purchasing property, you're out there purchasing, a business or whatever the situation is, you have to realize that you're exposing yourself to the public. That's the whole idea of owning a business. We're going to have to be on platforms like these, trying to talk to folks. But it gives you a certain level of exposure that you need to start protecting from day one, right? Day one. We're not going to wait until you're a $5 million business and you're going to try to pull back the curtain and fix everything there. We're going to make sure that you sit down again, starting with a professional, to lay down a good legal structure that would support the necessary growth that you're looking for. And the final thing I'd say is make sure that you have a good framework to start from. Whatever your business is, you got to make sure that you have the finance, insurance, legal, tax, employee, and regulatory areas taken care of before you even start taking that first book.
Right. And I want, you mentioned, the financial aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, in business, you're spending money. You're going to spend money on something. So, when you think about, the cost of things, you think about, yes, what does it actually cost you to do it? But you also think about the cost of what it costs you to not do it. Right. And really, for some of those things that you named, the most costly thing is not knowing. So at minimum, if you're not in a financial position to start doing some of the things that we're talking about, that's fine. But right. At least if you take the time to sit with, someone like myself, for like the strategic uses of insurance, with someone like, Marlon for the legal aspects, whether it's estate planning, asset protection, the business planning aspect, you sit down and you at least have that conversation, because once you have the knowledge, that can help you with your overall game plan. Right. And you'll know how you need to take your business, or how you need to, set aside certain parts of, the revenue you're generating so that you can take those next steps. Right. Because there's no point in building something up only to lose it all, mm-hmm. because you didn't know, or you right. didn't take the time to do the things you knew to do.
And I know that you're excited. You're ready to hit the ground running. And you don't need direction from me or Tanisha or anyone of how to run that business. I get it. You're excited, and this is your moment, and you're gonna grab that thing and run. But again, if you don't have the framework to keep that business going, it's gonna be futile, right? So I'm one of the person that would say plan 80% at a time and execute 20%. At the time, right? Try to make sure that you have that planning down, right? It can be modified, right? It's not, nothing that's not going to be hard and fast and rigid and can't be changed. It has to be fluid, right? So we're going to make sure that we have a fluid plan that works with that very unique idea that you have, right? And you'd be surprised at what you can accomplish once you've had a good planning in place.
Absolutely. So go ahead and do me a favor and let people know how they can contact you if they're interested in speaking with you.
Sure. They can reach me at 561-295-9110. You can also find me at thebrammerfirm.com, BrammerFirm.com. And I'm all over social media as well as I do have a YouTube channel that I'm putting together as well, but I'm not 100% there, but we're working on it.
Absolutely. And for those of you, if you'd like to reach out and connect with me about some of these, strategies using insurance, give me a connect. Reach out with me at rocksolidfinancial.co, not .com, .co /business. I'm happy to speak with you as well. Marlon, thank you so, so much for joining me tonight. I appreciate you taking the time out to chit chat. And I hope that all of you who have been listening got some value out of this. I'd love your feedback. So whether you're seeing this on YouTube, social media, You know, or if you're listening on one of the podcast channels, definitely, you know, let us know what you think. Let us know what your questions are. And if you do, I might be able to persuade Mr. Marlon Brammer to come back again and to answer those questions for you. So don't be shy. We love to get your questions. All right. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. We will catch you next time.
All right. Thank you, Tanisha.
You're very welcome.